Glory to you, Lord, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask or even imagine. Amen. I would like to begin by telling you the story of the rabbi and the soap maker. A rabbi and a soap maker went for a walk together. The soap maker asked, "What good is religion? Look at all the trouble and misery of the world after thousands of years of teaching about goodness, truth, and peace. After all the prayers and sermons. If religion is so good for people, why should this pain be?" The rabbi said nothing. They continued walking until they noticed a child playing in the gutter. Then the rabbi said, "Look at that child. You say that soap makes people clean, but see the dirt on that youngster. Of what good is soap? With all the soap in the world, the child is still filthy. I wonder how effective soap is after all." The soap maker protested and said, "But Rabbi, soap can't do any good unless it is used." "Exactly," replied the rabbi, "so it is with religion. And so it is with prayer. I remember when I was growing up that my grandfather said he only took a shower once a week. But I did see him read his prayer book every day. I remember watching him move his lips silently as he thumbed the pages. He looked like he was in another world. My grandfather's attitude in those moments of prayer struck me. He was totally absorbed. He seemed to need to pray. So did Jesus. It was a part of his life. In today's gospel, Jesus is absorbed in prayer. And when he finishes, and the apostles have seen Jesus pray on many occasions. In fact, in Luke's gospel, at least 7 other specific moments are mentioned. So the apostles finally give into their curiosity and their need and ask Jesus to teach them how to pray. Jesus did not respond with a list of rules or behaviors or gestures or ritual. Jesus responded with simplicity. And Jesus' answer with how to pray has remained important for us and the life of the church ever since. Like soap, we need to use prayer. It will change us. What I remember of my grandfather praying were 2 things: that he prayed and his attitude. That is the message in today's gospel. Pray, and this is how. Jesus revealed 5 attitudes for prayer: reverence, surrender, trust, forgiveness, and faithfulness. But you might be sitting here hearing these 5 attitudes, having said the Our Father and the Lord's Prayer throughout your life, and frustrated with knowing that all the things you have asked for in prayer, you haven't necessarily received. And so you might say, "What am I doing wrong? Why won't God answer my prayers my way?" Well, today's gospel is a 2-parter: what and how to pray. And pray these 5 attitudes with persistence. Keep on asking, searching, and knocking. And God will give you everything God knows you need. God will give the grace, the Holy Spirit you need in all that you are facing. That does not mean God is a gumball machine. You put money in, and out comes what you paid for. God is not a butler that answers your every whim. And God is not a mathematical equation. I pray this equals I get that. So all of us can attest to what we feel are unanswered prayers. We pray, and we know of people who pray with gut-wrenching prayer. We ask God to intervene for a miracle so our husband or father will not die. Or we meet someone so we no longer may live alone in life. Or that an operation will save a life. Or that we get employment to pay our bills. Or that we have a healthy baby. And it seems that God doesn't answer our desperate prayers. I was reading a book on healing prayer, and it began with specific prayers that were not answered the way these people wanted. There was a woman named Susan who said, "I'm looking for a miracle cure from my chronic pain. But now I know that the miracle I really need may be different from the one I am asking. I'm learning to believe that in all things, God is working for good, and that includes in my pain. This may be the real miracle." I read of Larry, who was facing a medical death sentence, liver cancer. He is praying for a miracle cure. Larry, through his faithful prayer, believes that he has received a profound spiritual healing. He is no longer afraid of the debilitation ahead of him or of death. Larry asserts, "Now I know the meaning of Psalm 23. Even though I am walking in the valley of the shadow of death, I am not afraid anymore. I know that God is with me. I have felt God's presence and comfort when everything else and everyone else has failed me. I know that whatever happens, God will remain beside me, and that someday I will dwell in God's house forever." A woman named Anita prayed for strength to deal creatively with her mother's Alzheimer's disease. And she prays that she might be able to accept and forgive herself for her limitations as a daughter and a caregiver. She's at the end of her financial and emotional resources. She says, "Through prayer, I am learning that God loves me in spite of my limitations and imperfections, and that God has a plan that cannot be thwarted by Alzheimer's disease. I pray, and it helps me deal with my doubts and struggles." These three have not fully experienced the cures for which they prayed, but they do claim that they have experienced a spiritual healing, reflected in a greater sense of God's presence and support amid their tremendous challenges. And we each have our challenges. We each pray for our specific needs and help, and we ask for specific miracles. And Jesus knows that. So be persistent. Continue to ask Jesus to teach you how to pray. Remember, he didn't respond with rules, but an attitude. Pray with his attitudes. Reverence, surrender. trust, forgiveness, and faithfulness. He prayed this way even as he faced death. So pray with reverence to God for being God. Pray with intimacy. God is as close to us as a parent. Pray to enter the will of God, that his kingdom, his way of life, enter fully into you and your world. Pray to trust God for what you need. God will give you what you need daily, like bread. Forgive. Forgive those who have hurt you, and forgive God if you need to, for not being what you have demanded God to be. And forgiveness will unblock and open your heart to receive. Be faithful in your prayers so God can be your strength in every trial or temptation you may face. Today's gospel invites us to reflect on our prayer life and where it has taken us. Today's gospel also reveals that one of the most difficult dimensions is to begin to pray, to actually choose to pray. You see, the apostles had been around Jesus for a long time. They had seen him pray often, and now they finally ask him to teach them to pray. They finally are ready to commit to entering a relationship with God through prayer. Are you ready? Are you ready to pray with the attitude and persistence of Jesus? Will God answer your prayer exactly the way you want your prayer to be answered? Only God knows. Remember that God is not a mathematical equation. If I pray this, I will get that. But God does know the desires of your heart. And God answers you with even more love than any human being ever could. I do believe this. And as I read in today's gospel, God will give you his very spirit if you ask, to be with you, to strengthen you, to face whatever is your challenge. Let us pray now and always, in whatever circumstance, in whatever hardship. Pray with reverence, surrender, trust, forgiveness, and faithfully. Don't just pray once a week. Pray daily. Pray first and last. And remember the rabbi and the soap maker. For the soap maker protested and said, "But Rabbi, soap can't do any good unless it is used." "Exactly," replied the rabbi. "So it is with religion. And so it is with prayer." Amen.